shit. Yeah, pull out shit. Yeah, slide here. Yeah, niggas can tell. Yeah, I shoot a nigga if you tell. Dog, don't tell. Nah, dog, don't tell. Yeah, I send it to hell. Yeah, send me to hell. Before y'all nigga can tell. Yeah, slide here. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Subs Lie Dubs Lie, a comprehensive anime podcast. And it is season 4 of one of your favorite anime podcasts out there. I'm your boy Jay, aka Versace Vegeta. I'm here with my lovely co-host, as always, D, my brother. What's going on, man?
Yo, what's going on, bro? What's going on, people? We are back. I know y'all missed us. It's been a little bit too long, but we never leave you hanging.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, you know, let's just talk shop a little bit. Let's just talk house. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, and just to be open with everybody, I do apologize for the delay. We were planning on being back about a month sooner, but I wound up suffering from calcific tendonitis in my right shoulder. In case you don't know what that means, I could not use my arm at all for about 2 weeks. Like, I couldn't lift it, couldn't move it without it being, not even without it being in pain. Like, I couldn't even, it wouldn't budge without it being in just severe pain. I've had to get physical therapy for that. However, we're here, so that means I'm doing way better now. I do apologize for the delay, but literally my health kept us from doing it, and I can't use a mouse or edit anything unless my right arm is able to be used. So here we are, and we're glad to be back.
Absolutely. It feels good to be back. We always say that, but it really does. I'm glad to be damn near talking about damn near anime one more time. It never really gets tired to talk about it. I could go probably 2 days, 3 days not watching an anime, but if somebody starts a discussion, boy, I got to chatting about it.
Listen.
Oh, man.
Boy, look, we're in it for the love of the game. Definitely missed this game, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
The amount of time that we were gone. So we're definitely sorry that we had to be gone as long as we were, but we're very glad to be back and couldn't be back with a more amazing topic. Tournament arcs. I mean, if you want to go into something that's just tried and true, and not just shonen anime, but anime as a whole, right? You've got sports animes, you've got shoujo anime, you've got seinen anime, mecha anime, that have all used this trope known as tournament arcs. And throughout just these next couple of months, we want to discover just some of the best ones out and some of the most unique ones out, right?
Yes.
Because it's one thing to say this arc was the best or this arc was peak. It's another one to also say, hey, there are arcs that they're not the best at all. They're not, you know, even close to being in the top five list, but they're so unique for what they've done and how they've used that sort of format in anime that they have to be recognized.
Oh, absolutely. I know a lot of people just slop over tournament arcs saying that they're a little bit boring, yada yada, but this is the best time for, if you're doing an anime, the most easiest way to advance your plot is usually a tournament arc. That's why you see it a lot. And tournament arcs don't have to be this one-dimensional, one guy fights the other guy, and that's it, done, nothing. There's so much beauty that can come out of doing a tournament arc. I'm not even gonna lie. Some of the beautiful stories told are from a tournament arc. I'm here to tell you that.
Very true. Very true. Some of the greatest stories told in the sense that they not only are able to tell their own stories within them, but the greats are able to further the stories that they take within, take place within, and give us unique perspectives of characters that we've already known or are introduced to in ways that we never would have seen them, because the stakes are up for them, or the sense of competition that they have to reach up to is just so high that we're seeing them in a whole new light.
Mm-hmm.
So with that all in mind, this week, before we go into each of these individual tournament arcs that we will be discussing throughout the season, we want to just talk about what makes tournament arcs so great, so interesting for people to watch, so fun to get caught up into. Because throughout the anime community, there's a lot of people that love tournament arcs. There's a lot of people that don't love tournament arcs.
Oh, definitely.
Right. And far be it from us to tell anybody what they should like and how they should watch something, but it does stand to say there's a lot of misconceptions out there about them.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And it's one thing to form your opinion based on the actual story that's being told. It's another thing to form an opinion based off of, oh, I see a grid of 8 to 16 characters that all going to have to face off against each other here. Oh, God, I know what this is going to be.
Exactly.
So I want to break that down a good amount today. When it comes to tournament arcs here in just this entire like format, I've always found that one of the biggest things that they can do is up the stakes in a way that, while some anime might have other arcs that, you know, you've got like a world-ending plot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This can give you that same sense of anticipation without the stakes being so high.
Yeah.
Where do you find there being strengths in stories that take those characters to that next level?
Well, as far as that goes, I do want to say that stakes in a tournament arc, for example, doesn't always have to be life-shattering.
Yeah.
But, again, just like any arc, it has to challenge the character ideas. It got to make them uneasy. It got to make them something. This is the point. This is your grand time to showcase what your character is. If you fail a tournament arc, I'm not going to lie, it's going to look bad for you, because True. It's the most simplest way. It is the most formulaic way to enhance your plot. I'm not going to lie, the amount of anime that I may have shrugged off in the first arc or so, and then pick it right back up because I saw them to execute in a tournament arc pretty damn well. There are a lot of them. And there's some of the most popular anime. I'm not just talking about just some random shindig anime from back then, whatever. I'm talking about some of the most popular anime.
Yeah.
Some that are currently ongoing. They definitely did what it was right for this tournament arc. They already know that, hey, I need to make my character look good. And at the same time, I need people to really stick with the rest of the cast. This is the best time to make your cast look great. It's the best time to make your character look great. It's the best time to establish a set of rules. Maybe you want to re-enhance, or you want to, you know, educate. You can do so much. Info dump. Do whatever. This is the best place. Best time. Best. I laugh, realistically speaking, when I see a tournament arc done so well, and it propels the show to something even better than it was. Because, like, again, it's a simple format. Something so simple can do something so great for a show.
Everybody. I think a really great example of just exactly what you're saying, is the 22nd Tenkaichi Budokai of Dragon Ball.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Because here you have this show where, from the outside looking in, people think, oh, it's just full of tournaments and just full of people that are just fighting, right? But keep in mind that Dragon Ball in and of itself was just this adventure, and the martial arts kind of came along with it. The 21st World's Martial Arts Tournament kind of sets the tone for there being more martial arts in the series. The 22nd World Martial Arts Tournament is where we have a lot of those strengths, like you mentioned. We're able to take our cast and elevate them, right?
Ooh, two. You could take a gag character and make them look real great in a tournament. And I saw that a lot in the 22nd tournament. My boy Yamcha?
Yeah,
looked like exactly. Damn. Shoot. He might probably be the second. One of my favorite characters. Second favorite characters in that whole arc, to be honest. And he's a man. People throw him off the cliff. They're like, Yamcha. Ha, ha, ha. Jump character, right? He don't do nothing. He's useless. I mean, I loved his fight. And yeah. I loved what he was going through throughout the tournament. I mean,
what else are you going to say?
I was going to say, even the fitting end, where he throws out the handshake, I'm like, yo, great for Yamcha. This shows me that he's more than just, oh, afraid of girl, man, or now, lady, man, or now, I'm going to lose. I'm just here to just lose, man, just to showcase or propel the final, you know, the final threat of the tournament. Or like, no, he's much more than that. He's somebody that really belongs to Kaz. He ain't just somebody you could just push aside and like, oh, yeah. Story could go with or without him. He's there. He's there to make the way and stay. Definitely stay.
And I mean, let's set the tone, right? Because it's easy to look at where Dragon Ball is today in 2024 and say, I can't see how Yamcha's taken seriously. We gotta take the clock way back. There are no yellow, spiky-haired characters yet, right? Oh, yeah. There are no, like, world-ending battles yet. We're getting close to those.
You're getting there.
But at this point, you have just this, like, small cast of characters. And it goes from being what has been really just the Goku show this whole time to now you've got Goku, Krillin, Yamcha, new characters like Tien Shinhan and Chiaotzu, right? That are introduced that really enhance what the martial arts aspect of Dragon Ball becomes. Because Tien Shinhan's entire conflict of, do I keep going down the route of being a trained assassin from what I've learned at another Crane school? Or do I go down the route of being a martial artist? Because I'm picking up to what this dude, Muten Roshi, is doing real fast. Real fast. Getting me so much stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, little moments in that entire arc that just set up what we know as Dragon Ball forever. Goku being the most, like, technically savvy we've probably ever seen him being ever at that point, right? Yeah. Using the shades against Ten Shinhan's solar flare just because he had already seen it. Masterful stuff, you know? Fighting with every bit in his arsenal that he's got.
Goku. And you look at poor little Goku. And he was innovative in the last tournament. But my man, once again, he looks so technically sound. He's not, his first fight against Chopper.
Oh man.
What?
Talk about a tournament character that was just made for the tournament that actually, like, looks serious at that point in time, you know?
Yes. Damn. This is a former winner. This former winner. And my man Goku looked like a trained vet to the point everybody else is questioning, like, oh man, it's a serious time now. Because Goku sets the tone for a lot of the story. And Goku looks like a renowned fighter. Super renowned. It's no childish-ish or whatever. Yeah, he's still the same lovable guy. But in a fight, it ain't getting no funny no more. Ain't nobody losing no gag technique in this time. Not one bit. There's no gag. Straight and serious.
To even further on that entire idea of it's not a gag, look at how the 22nd World Martial Arts Tournament ends, right? Team winds up winning, but literally Krillin goes and is like, oh, I'm gonna go get some stuff I forgot, and never comes back because he gets killed.
Yeah.
This introduces King Piccolo. This introduces one of the most tense arcs in all of Listen, 22nd World Martial Arts Tournament, top three Dragon Ball arc of all of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, we not. I'm not
all of Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball. I'm not throwing. Yeah, I'm not putting it in a box at all. Yes, it's a tournament arc. It is much more than a tournament arc.
So much more. So much more. And honestly, like, we're talking about it now because that's not one of the arcs that we're covering this season. But, like, I felt it best to bring that up in this episode, that specific tournament arc, because it's an example of all of the right things you can do with one.
Absolutely. The right rival fight, friend versus friend.
Oh, and impossible fights that you could never see in any other sort of way.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Building up both enemies and friends.
Oh, yes. Both of them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing in that arc feels like filler.
Oh,
and,
no.
And that's what is another aspect that I really think makes tournament arcs the best ones that are out.
Yep.
Really well done. Because from a production standpoint, you know, the manga artist is like, okay, look, I'm might need a break from how the rest of this story is going, so I'm going to use a tournament arc in order to give these characters a goal that's outside of the main one,
exactly.
Right? And that can be just as simple as it just turning into filler sometimes.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. That can be done really, really wrong. But when you have character development that's being done for not only older but new characters that you're just entered the story,
yeah,
it's one of the best ways you can do it without there being a war arc or something.
Oh,
like,
oh, yeah,
that, right?
Exactly.
Or like a rescue arc, which is just other tropes within anime that, much like tournament arcs, can be seen as just overdone. But all of them have their place within how they're used to further the story. I just feel as though, no, I absolutely believe in my heart that tournament arcs are some of the best tried and true that you could have in the anime industry as a whole, because we wouldn't look at them as passe the way we do now if you just hadn't had hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit to lead to a point to where, okay, now it's kind of over.
Oh, you can't. Yeah.
One tournament arc that I feel as though is a great example of using everything that we've been like sort of introduced to in tournament arcs, but uses that for the entire series. Because that is a concept that can happen, right? An entire series can be based off of it. Oh. The Prince of Tennis.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, very underrated in the year 2024, just because we've had other series very similar to it, more sports manga and anime that have come out since. But The Prince of Tennis, in and of itself, everyone's introduced for the sake of the tournament.
Yeah, for the sake of the tournament.
Everyone, every art, every sort of like tennis playing style, because just from an outsider's glance, you're like, how can you make tennis that interesting? But then you get to an episode where a dude is like using a slithering snake style with a tennis racket, and you're sitting there like, whoa, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly.
I mean, it uses literally all the plot points that tournament arcs have always established, such as giving us backstories to characters, giving us different characters' motivations as to why they believe they should win. Even having behind the scenes like treachery and things like that. Right? Mm-hmm. All of that is represented in The Prince of Sinis so very well. And I feel as though it's a great example if you're looking for, hey, what happens when the tournament arc is the whole concept?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are other tournaments that are very similar to that that we'll be bringing up throughout this season as well, right? But I feel like that's a really good example of one where it's like, okay, like it's not just specifically fighting, right? But the entire concept for how the series moves forward is the fact that it, the whole thing is a tournament.
It's just strictly tournament.
What I think can also happen, though, is we can have these concepts where it uses all of those plot points and it doesn't deliver as strong, right? Yeah. One that comes to mind for me, the later part of Flame of Recca.
Yeah.
Definitely felt like they were like, oh, somebody that worked at Studio Pierrot was like, I miss working on the Dark Channel.
Yes.
Can we do that again? And it just felt like they missed the entire point of why the Dark Tournament was happening. And yeah, they exactly. were just like, hey, let's throw one in right here.
That, man, that was not a well-written series. I'm sorry. By no means.
Like, even the parts that aren't about a tournament all feel like, damn, like, this is the Yu Yu Hakusho we got at home.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You know, it's like, yeah, well, do you have Yu Yu Hakusho money? Like,
that's yeah, you exactly. Exactly. About to copy Yu Yu Hakusho and fail miserably every attempt. That is so sad. But that happens a lot. Like, yeah, tournament arcs can make or break your series. I want people to know that. Can propel your series in the same way, like an equivalent exchange. That shit will definitely ruin your series if it's bad.
It's wild that you can have just such a vast range in what, like, levels of, like, greatness or just terribleness. Oh. From one single, like, trope in anime. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And it's something, man, it's a simple, like I said, I will not stop stressing it. A tournament arc is very formulaic and simple. But this simple thing is like, it's either a blessing or a curse. Use it to how you may will.
It's something where, like, there are shows that are already fight of the week. So there makes no point to really have a tournament, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if you have a series that doesn't already have, like, strength in its characters, it makes no point to have one, really. Because now you're just saying, like, yo, I have no I don't know what else to do other than to add characters, right? Yeah. But when you have a really strong cast, or you're introducing
a strong cast,
right? Like, that can really, really take a tournament from.
But you to make, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, being just like straight trash to, like, oh, this is, like, memorable.
Oh, yeah, this is memorable.
It's making this entire series that much better.
Yeah. People are going to remember moments, man. Moments like anything else in life. People remember moments more so before they remember a full arc. Yeah, you're most likely to get away with doing a lot of great moments in such an event like a tournament. Don't fail or flop now with it, because, like I said, most memorable moments can be either good or bad. And trust me, bad sometimes stick out a lot more than good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Bad? Yo, you might get lit. Shoot, there's a lot of anime that are recognized and talked about just because of how bad it is. And that's the one saving grace. In this deep medium, your one way to be memorable is by being awful and failing so bad. That is harsh, but...
Dead Man Wonderland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, while it's not the entire concept of that show, a lot of it is built around that tournament. And the concept for the show just already is kind of hokey. Because it's like, okay, I thought they were all kind of imprisoned here and had to do things. But now they're all pitted against each other. Why? For what reason? You know what I mean? Like, the Carnival Corpse, the sort of, like, event that they had. Like, I just thought it was, like... I don't know. Like, it's kind of... If you already are going to make a series that's going to be based on, like, hey, people watch, like, criminals have to fight each other for sport, making it now a tournament in where everybody else I don't care about, like, I'm only going to care about this main character, like, it's almost like, okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to hope he just wins everything.
Man, 12 episodes of hot garbage.
Garbage. That's one of those I remember back in the day. People were like, nah, read the manga. It's like, why?
Oh, people love doing that, man. Read the manga. Damn, they didn't do it well. No, brother.
Nah. I think the concept just trash.
I think it's just butt. And you try to rip off of Elfin League, and you did it terribly.
Ooh, say that, bro.
You tried it, and it was, you failed. Some of the most memorable anime is having tournaments, and you see somebody trying to replicate said tournament, and they flip and flop and fail. It's the worst. Definitely the worst.
There are tournament arcs in animes that are also not very memorable, but I think that's strong.
Oh yeah.
When you think about Dr. Stone, nobody thinks about really that tournament arc that happened in the beginning, for in order for him to get the village priestess or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought it was done really well.
Yeah, the tournament was cool.
You had like Dr. Stone trying to like figure his way through, like, I remember there was the one fight with the big brute, you know what I mean? And like he's just like using his mind to sort of like work through the entire thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I thought it was really a dope way to like sort of like introduce like, hey, like there's a real reason for us to have this sort of competition, right?
Yeah,
even though it was one of those things where he's not really like trying to, like, he doesn't want the prize. It's just more if he wants to help the people,
yeah,
as opposed to like the stakes being like, oh, well, you know, in a lesser show, they're like, oh, well, I get, if I win, I get to marry the priestess. Oh, ooh, man, she's so hot. Of course I want to marry her. Yeah. Like, in the lesson show, that's what it would have been about. And instead, it was just like, yo, like, this girl's really sick. I'm going to prove to y'all that I am the scientist I really am, yeah, by winning this tournament. Then just showing y'all, like, hey, like, I could heal this chick. Like, this it was never about me making her my wife.
Yeah, exactly. Great way of... And true, you're not used to that. It was a great swerve. You gotta appreciate those.
I think a tournament that... Okay. I gotta talk about this early. Early. Because we're gonna talk about this in greater length later this season. But there's a tournament that I feel like gets all the credit for tournament arcs.
Oh boy!
And I'm not gonna give my opinion on this arc yet because I gotta give y'all a reason to want to listen to that episode. But the Dark Tournament did not create tournament arcs. I want to say that. I want to say that with all the strength I have in my chest.
Yeah, listen to us and listen to us well. That did not break the mold for tournaments. You're lying to yourself. It might be your first tournament. It might be your first memorable tournament. That is not the god of tournaments. my lord. I see people talk about that so much and it infuriates me. When we do the episode of that tournament, you'll hear more. But please, please, just stop. Stop.
And I make that point because I still know Joe exists. Yeah. It came out in 68. Like, that's the first real, like, tournament. Like, if we're talking about, like, the real first, like, tournament. Or, like, and I'm not saying this just to be, like,
it's not even to be on an elitist level, but if you make a claim, if somebody has information that can change that claim or challenge that claim, you're going to throw it out there. Something that came out in the 90s did not create a tournament.
Yes. It was really using the format of some of the more popular tournaments that had come before in, like, the decade before it. And exactly. They just said, oh, okay, we're just going to do teams instead. Like, that's really the only thing that makes it different.
And then they broke that team formula literally next 10 chapters. So, whatever. I'm not gonna speak too much about that until when it's time. I need people to literally listen to me. It is not the god of tournament arcs. It is not what made or innovated and changed the trope. It did it. I'm sorry. It did it.
Because all of the things that we've brought up, all of the strengths that there are to tournament arcs, these are all existing in arcs that take place before Togashi put pen to paper for Yu Yu
Hakusho. Pen to paper before he wasn't... Right. Yeah, stop it.
And Yu Yu Hakusho is good for using pre-existing tropes and sort of, like, putting a different spin on them. Yes, I'm going to give it that. I'm going to give it, like, hey, like, it took the genre of shonen tournament arcs and it gave it, like, new foundation to lay on.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say, like, it created that foundation.
Yeah, stop the shenanigans. Be serious.
It's just something that, like, it has to be mentioned because all of the things that make a tournament arc great, while they exist in that arc, none of the examples are the best examples of what makes a tournament arc great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'll save that conversation for when it necessarily needs to be said as a whole. But I really do feel like it needs to be just mentioned. If we're talking about what makes a tournament arc great, right? You're going to wonder why we're 30 minutes in and you haven't heard us talk about the dark tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave the elephant just in the room and be like, oh, no, we'll get to it. I promise. No, let's look at him, talk about why he's there, let you know he's there, and then let you know, okay, we'll save the meat for it later on.
Yeah, exactly. But
elephant in the room just had to be addressed here. Something that I really feel strongly about when it comes to tournament arcs is that a huge focus is majorly to want to see the main character that we're attached to in it win that arc, right? We've already used examples of great tournament arcs where that wasn't the end result, such as, you know, the World's Martial Arts Tournament. But I really want to point out that that is a part of tournament arcs that I feel like makes the tournament arc trope as a whole great. Yeah. Continuing the character's growth. It doesn't have to be the end all be all. Case in point, look at how many tournaments we saw Ash Ketchum in before he ever won one that really fucking mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, them tournaments, boy.
And while I understand Pokemon's not really the best example to use because it's this yearly franchise that's been ongoing because it's built on the back of a game that exists, right? Mm-hmm. It still stands to say that the tournament arcs is a big major plot point in that show.
Wow, truly.
And even though I haven't been watching Pokemon ever since it's been out consistently, the one thing that gets me to want to watch Pokemon for a little bit every year was those tournaments.
It's the tournament. It's the big payoff. Guy wants to be the very best. Tournament shows that, yes, you are considering a master of this little event or little battle thing. You aim for that, and you're expecting that. You watch Pokemon, and then you're like, oh yeah, you like the adventure. Me, I want to see the battles, man. I want to see the battles. And them tournaments in Pokemon, I'm going to be very fair. I ain't see a couple of them really peak until like a couple of years ago. I'll be very honest. Especially the Pokemon, the first tournament? The first tournament?
Oh man, that first one? Listen, it was cool because it was the first one.
Man, I thought Ash was Ash.
But if we're looking back on it, I can't say that first one was really it, man.
Man, I used to call, growing up, I used to call Ash Ketchum Ash Ketchup because in the tournament arcs, he would look so ass. So ass. He would look so outclassed. Everybody would just be, yeah. Character assassination can happen, especially in that tournament
arc. Oh, God. Yeah, listen. Look. In 2024, we can say like, oh man, hey, look, my boy is now the champion. He done did his big one. You know what I'm saying? Really, really out here after that Masters 8 tournament and all that. But look, man, I remember the Silver Conference back in the day. You know what I'm saying? That was pretty cool. But Ash, look, man. He really had to take losses from Gary all the way up until then before he finally won. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Silver Conference was really what stood out to me, because it's like, damn, Ash could finally beat Gary.
Yeah, he finally competent. Wow, damn, so. Bro, like, I seen people that lose in tournaments still come out looking better than Ash did.
Listen, man, it wasn't until maybe that, like, third loss that I started to understand, no, Ash is that ultimate Cody Rhodes ass character in anime. We want to see the chase. We want to see our man go after being at the top.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And as a child, it was like, damn, man, I didn't want to see him lose. But now looking back on it, Pokemon is a great example of why having our main character take an L in a tournament really only makes him stronger in the long run.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? He had to build character.
He definitely had to get embarrassed multiple times.
Ash couldn't be like you and me and all, you know, everybody else listening that played Red and Blue back in the day. He couldn't be like, oh, I got all 150. I stormed through Indigo Plateau. Yeah. I did my big one. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm going on to catch Mewtwo. We couldn't get that. Otherwise, that show, like, Pokemon still wouldn't be on TV still. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, there's a difference where one, the anime is more popular than those manga that they were dropping in. They were pretty good. I ain't gonna lie, I've read a couple of them, really damn good. But yeah, they're not, no. Ash was running a challenge run for all I'm concerned. My man was not evolving nobody.
Hell yeah.
Nobody. That boy funny as hell. But yes, a tournament, and even though he got some groundbreaking losses, to the point I really had to ask myself, are they gonna replace this dude? Because I'm not gonna lie, he's getting packed up a lot. But at the end, when we finally got this final tournament for my boy, oh boy, that was a masterclass. Masterclass. Even if I had to wait a damn near, 20 something years for that, that was a masterclass.
Man, I'm telling you, that was one of those moments when Ash won the Pokemon World Championship finally. It was like all of us had that collective moment. It was like when the the Universal Tournament, the Tournament of Power is on. And, you know, all of us together were watching every Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Maybe all of us didn't watch that battle, but all of us, when we found out Ash became the champion, we were like, all right, nephew!
Yeah, let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
They did that. They did that. Yes. He did it. The team did it. He ain't changed up his style. He's still chewing himself. He ain't take no, he ain't cheat. He ain't doing nothing. Stuck to his core. Battled the way how he always battled. Just got better at it, and it looked amazing. Super amazing.
And to be real, is that sort of like build? You get a character that, and you could only, you know, Pokemon is really one of the only few anime out there. Like, there's maybe like, you know, 5 to 10, if we're talking about like in the long run of all of it, right? Where you have these characters that are legacy characters, and we haven't seen them like be on top ever. The entire goal is to want to see that happen for them. You know, I was more excited to see Ash finally win a Pokemon championship than I was when Naruto finally became Hokage.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. When Naruto finally became Hokage, it was like, hey, proud of you, but this was a foregone conclusion. Yeah. I knew from chapter one, this was going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely know. Most definitely. Didn't know how you would end up being it, but I definitely knew how you were definitely going to do it.
Ash had taken so many L's. It got to a point where I was like, they could never do it, and I would believe that.
Yeah. It might be a draw for his last tournament, for goddamn sake. And that's how I thought it was going to be. I never thought throughout the years, the way how they built it up, I didn't think he was going to win. And he definitely did. I was definitely surprised the shit out of him. And that's what again, makes a tournament run great. I would, a general rule for me in the tournament, like, I need the element of surprise. I need to be surprised.
Yeah.
Super surprised. Shocked. I'm looking at my screen or I'm watching or reading. I need to be shocked. I need to be so confused to point out, to run on Twitter and talk about it. That's what I'm expecting. Most definitely. That is the most important rule. Give me something damn expected. If this is a formulaic plot way, a plot advancement, I need something so damn shocking. And a little cheat tip: make the tournament, or let it be make me feel uneasy.
Yeah,
me feel uneasy. Make me feel like, oh yeah, the protagonist definitely about to lose a couple something. He ain't gonna die. Nobody gonna die. You don't have to die, but like, yeah, I need to feel like, yeah, this gonna take the whole kit and caboodle to win or something.
It's because you have the stakes that are raised, and I know we keep referring to stakes, but it's not always just, oh, you kidnapped my grandpa and I have to win, or it's not always like, oh, like I have to do this to prove something. Sometimes it can just be as simple as for the love of the fucking game.
Oh yeah, hop in that mug, like proving yourself. Maybe you want to see how well you fare. And sometimes it be some just a regular nonsense. One Piece got the Davy back fight, which to me one of the weirdest arcs in One Piece ever. Where you get Afro Luffy in that mug, but it was fun. That's what I could take that. It was definitely unexpected. I did not, after all the arcs I watched out of One Piece at that time, I wasn't expecting no silly, goofy stuff like that. Most definitely. I did not expect it. And what came after it was probably what made One Piece probably break them all as far as standing out as a position of the big three. So, yeah. Give me that. Sometimes you might need to give me all the fun and joy just to throw me for the next plot for some complete nightmare and misery.
Exactly. Sometimes it can just be there just to sort of make sure the tone is able to be shifted.
Yeah. Please do.
You know what I mean? like, if you need the story to get to a point to where it's like, okay, we need things to be lighthearted, give us something that's just goofy. You know what I'm saying? It can be a silly tournament. Like you mentioned in One Piece, right? And then, boom, now it's time to change everything. Because things have been a little too, you know what I mean? Just a little, the story has been a little too easy. Now things need to be uneasy because that just took place, right? You can cause for the uneasiness for the readers or the watchers by making the tournament or by following it up.
If I know this, I just came off of a series that, or an arc was so tough, it was so dramatic, anything, and I get some real easy, laid back stuff. 9 out of 10, from my hindsight, something really bad is going to happen in the next arc. I've noticed in my time, as a reader, as a watcher, every time there's some fun little cool moment, a beach episode, or something silly, even in the tournament, that you can have some fun. Oh, the next arc is groundbreaking stuff, and you need that. You need that. Have me confused a little bit. Have me enjoy the ride, but at the same time, prepare mentally for the fact that, yeah, some stuff is about to go down. You might have to, this might be your last time seeing these characters, low-key. Exactly. To spin back on the 22nd tournament, I did not know after Krillin showed out in this fight with Goku and everything, as simple as, oh, yeah, I think you left something. Let me go back. I did not know that was going
to
be.
Who thought that was going to lead to everything?
I did not know that. I said, what? My dad, I made my dad watch Dragon Ball. And when he saw that Krillin is just, boy, he loves Krillin. When he saw that, oh my gosh, the look at his face, it just rejuvenated me as an anime fan. My boy was distraught because I never would expect something like that to happen to Krillin at all. He had no business being in it. And then you felt that, but you felt the unease. It was too, you had that great celebration. And yeah, now we're going to have, we're gonna go out to eat. Last tournament, we ate and it was just fine. This one, oh man. The fact that I'll never forget that scene in the anime. Thank y'all for the joke. Goku just having that mentally, he just freezes.
Yo, and yes.
I said, yo. And people low key don't look at it, but yo, Goku has crazy deadly premonition throughout the whole series. He knows when something bad's gonna happen. In the nose, but that was the first time you've seen that. He just stops, and I remember looking at that scene. I'm like, bro, what is going on? I'm like, yo, is Goku tweaking? He dropped on his head again? No, that was some bravo, bravo. Toriyama, sick guy. He is sick. Seriously. Guy. Shout bro, out to him.
Like, imagine you're a little kid reading that and you're like, oh man, you know what, Goku might not have beat Ten Shin Han, but I can't wait for him to beat him.
Yeah.
In the next one, I can't wait to see how he, you know, gets stronger from here. And then you're just like, I wonder where the story's gonna go now.
Yeah,
what's gonna happen next? Oh, I got something for your ass. Boom, Krillin's boom. Dead.
Krillin's dead. This is the end of the tournament arc. Oh my god, what, you had the tournament.
The story hasn't been told already.
You're still in the tournament arc. This is still a tournament arc. This is not.
You flip it on your ass.
You flip it. They didn't get to go, say goodbye or anything. They still, literally, they like about 6 feet away from going inside the tournament entrance. That one moment. Damn near changed the whole series. It did. Let me be really honest. It really did. I ain't see that. I ain't never seen that before. Not to the main cast. I know they killed old boy's father. That surprised me. But again, it's like, yeah, I get the idea that the Dragon Ball is going to be used because Goku's collecting them.
Yeah, especially when it's like, okay, yeah, like, yes, you know for sure that, okay, yeah, we can always bring him back with the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
But like, it's so much more than we can bring him back with the Dragon Balls, because when things like that happen, like, you know, with Bora, right?
Yeah.
That's one of those, like, oh, wow, like, that's, I feel for these people, you know, from Goku's point. Like, oh, I feel for these character, and, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like what was done to him was wrong, so I want to help him. This is the first time Goku's doing it, like, it's personal.
Oh, yeah. Changed him. Completely.
Because it doesn't even wind up being just Krillin. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Chiaotzu gets it. Roshi gets it.
Roshi gets it. That technique and refinement.
The path that Goku, what were you saying, man?
I was saying that technique and refinement from Goku you see in the tournament, all that goes out the window. That elegance, all that he's gotten that eyes. He's doing all that. He's filled with bloodlust. You never seen Goku like this ever. 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 Amazing.
This is what you're really looking for yeah. tournament arcs, right? Not just the great fights, not just the stakes that are raised, not just like, oh, I get to see these characters in a different sort of environment than what I'd normally see them in. Like, if you're building something further on, or you're using the tournament itself to build the plot to a point to where it's like, hey, everything from this point on, you don't even look at this show the same. That's when you're cooking with real fucking grease right there.
Hell yeah. What a... Ooh, man. Some great ass... There's a lot of amazing life, like, anime-changing moments just from this point, from a tournament arc. I definitely cannot wait to start talking about them after each episode goes by. Because,
So... Man, let's give it to them. Let's let the people know, right? Because at this point, I think it's pretty easy for y'all to know, like, hey, man, the ins and outs of a tournament arc, it's not as simple as it looks like on paper or you know, when you're just looking at these sorts of stories as a whole. There's a lot of great different areas of a story that these can all touch. But there's also examples that are just really exemplary that just really, really sets the tone for very great stories. So the stories that you can expect us to cover throughout this season are going to be some real heavy hitters, not only in shonen manga, but in anime as a whole.
Exactly.
So to start off, next week, we're going to pay homage to the god himself, Akira Toriyama. Rest in peace to the god. We're going to be talking about one of his greatest stories ever made, the 23rd Tenkaichi Budokai from Dragon Ball.
Yes, yes.
We're also going to go to another fan favorite tournament, one that I feel like doesn't really get talked about as much when we're talking about tournament arcs, with Battle City from Yu-Gi-Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
I mean, talk about a arc that we all really came up on that was just like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa.
Stakes, character development, seeing characters face each other off that never would have before. Mm-hmm. Oh man, look, it's all there. It's all there.
It's definitely there.
D, let them know what else we got, man.
We got coming right next, the Holy Grail War from the Fate series. And I know a lot of people love Fate. I know
people
ain't ever even been introduced to it. Y'all really gonna love that one, I promise you. Following after that, hey, y'all noticed we ain't talk about a certain tournament or a certain tournament style. We got tuning exams coming up right after that, man. And
that's right, man. I mean, and talk about a tournament that changed the game, bro.
Yeah.
Like, so vastly, you want to talk about, like, oh, this one changed how we look at tournaments? That right there. The tuning exams. Blueprints of some very famous arcs all over it. But my man Kishimoto said, that's cool. I'm going to go do my own thing. And boy, did he do it.
They say, oh, copying or plagiarism is bad. Man, when you could take somebody's idea and then end up looking better for you, I gotta give a nod.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I definitely gotta give a nod. After that, we most definitely got some. I know this series has been rather talked about the past few years, I've noticed, but Maximum Tournament from Baki the Grappler.
Real graps, man. Real
graps.
Good real God, graps. Man. You want to talk about some of the best action in a tournament arc ever?
Yeah. Man.
The rest of the tournament is where things get real, real gritty, man. So I'm really excited to talk about that one, man.
Them boys are fire.
Now, I know the week after that, man. D, listen, bro. Listen, man. I'm just going to need you to bring your game face on. You know, I am a big fan of this one. I know the people are going to love this one. And they're going to love the conversation because every season there's always a differing opinions episode. And this season we've got the Gundam fight from G Gundam. Very iconic tournament arc, man. Those who grew up in the Toonami era, man. Listen, this was for y'all, man. This was for y'all. Indeed. I know you've given your opinions on G Gundam here on Wax before. So, really excited to spend an hour or so talking about that.
Oh my gosh. Yes, you finally. Yuck! But yeah! Yuck! 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 But we are definitely.
We're gonna follow that one up with a breather, though. Keep things a little bit lighthearted.
Dick shot,
talking about the sports festival from My Hero Academia. That's right. All my Boku no Hero Academia fans out there, y'all are finally gonna hear us for the very first time. Talk about Deku and the gang here on Subslide Dubslide, as we'll be covering a pretty decent modern shonen tournament arc, in my opinion. One that I really feel like kind of sets the tone for what modern shonen can do when looking back on a lot of the tropes that have been set previously. And we're going to end season 8 on a really, really high point by discussing Yu Yu Hakusho's very own Dark Tournament. Look, no matter what we both said earlier about the Dark Tournament, it can be true that it's not the father of tournament arcs, and also be true that it is one that stands out, and it's one that is seen as one of the greats. But I really feel like it's necessary that we break that arc down for what it is.
Yeah.
Talk about what tropes it uses from tournament arcs and really see where each of those sit individually into making that whole story. I think it's really important that you look at it not from just the God damn Yusuke and Kuwabara and Hiei and Kurama have cool fights aspect, right?
Yeah.
Whole lot more to it than that. Really, really excited. So that's our 8 tournaments for season 4. Can hear a lot of y'all probably asking yourselves, like, yo, why didn't you do this one or that one? You know what I'm saying? Like, why didn't you do the Cell Games? Listen, man. To me, the Cell Games is the Z Fighters jumping a single father, and I don't support that.
Yeah, exactly. Cell is a victim because Cell, he this was his fate. He was created to be a tool. A damn tool.
Yeah.
And he ain't got no chances.
He ain't got no chance. There wasn't no, hey, you know, if you threaten to put the Kamehameha down, you know what I'm saying? If you decide to put it down, we'll all just be homies and we'll go out and eat after that. No, he didn't get that chance one time. Not one time. I think Cell was fucking screwed. It's the fucking red ribbon screw job is what it is.
Yeah, most definitely. The Cell's shoe got mass murderers in Cell. So what? Dragon Balls. Y'all told me that. Y'all told me that the Dragon Balls could bring back everybody.
Yeah.
or no mask.
He was eating, bro. He was just trying to survive, bro. Fuck all those thousand nameless people that wound up having their streets left in the clothes. He was just trying to survive. Okay, so you mean to tell me it's okay that Cell gets fucking eradicated from all of existence, but a nigga that went around blowing up planets so much to the fact that he was even blowing up planets in the afterlife.
Life, exactly. Is
to get fucking reincarnated? Bullshit. Bullshit. Yeah, bullshit.
Frieza?
We support single fathers. I support fucking Cell, bro.
Yeah. I mean, them Cell Juniors, they ain't do nothing wrong. They were just fighting. It's all love and game.
They were trying to protect their dad. He was getting jumped.
Exactly. He welcomed y'all with the thing that y'all liked. He ain't have to do that. Goku, Gohan, Vegeta. He's beating him up, embarrassing him.
Man.
Life a bitch.
Goddamn, man. He's a lost child, bro.
Exactly.
He was a lost child.
Exactly. Nobody to change his mind. Nobody there.
Fucking sickening, man.
Disgusting.
But look, you know, for all the great tournament arcs that we didn't cover that we won't be discussing this season, dude, feel free to let us know online what y'all's thoughts are. Like, what are some tournament arcs that y'all felt like, oh hey, like y'all should have brought that one up? And you know, maybe we'll do a recap. We love to do recaps every season. And we can talk about some of the ones that maybe y'all felt like should have got some shine this season as well. So let us know as we go through season 4, and who knows, maybe we'll drop a little episode 10 for y'all for season 4.
Yeah.
Do another round table and discuss those.
It's up to y'all. It's what y'all want. We give the people what they want.
Okay. But hey man, listen, until then, I hope y'all really have enjoyed all of this discussion on tournament arcs that we've done today. I really feel as though it's a great aspect of anime, hell, video games, JRPGs. You know, tournament arcs are just always going to be around. It's always a great way to throw your characters in unique situations, and I'm really excited to discuss them from a macro standpoint and even talking about some of the greats this season.
Yep.
So until next time, never forget, subs lie, dubs lie, we don't, and we show lane.
You never did, man. You did this for four seasons? Four seasons?
That's a year. That's a year.
Exactly. What y'all giving us for our anniversary, our pod anniversary, y'all?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Actually, our 2-year anniversary is right around the corner. It's in a couple of years. It's in a couple of months now. So yeah man, we're going pretty strong with this stuff, man. Very, very proud to be a part of the Lookout Network, giving y'all this heat. And hey man, be on the lookout for more of that. But until then, y'all be easy.
Hey man, all at your boys. 2 years. That's crazy.
That's wild, man. Peace.